Today on Real Life Radio.
I just pray, as I was on my knees before this service started, that every one of you who are his sheep, see, I don't have to worry about that either. All of you who are truly his would continue and abide and stay strong and persevere in these days.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Now, before we jump into today's message, I want to remind you that all sorts of resources for your spiritual growth are available at jackhibbs.com. Things like devotions, podcasts, interviews, previous messages, special events, all this and a lot more available at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series on the Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Don't Just Stand There, Pray About It, Part 2. You know, this series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as really only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, we continue in chapter 18, and we'll consider the importance of prayer. You see, prayer isn't usually the first thing we do when we're in trouble. Most of us immediately pick up the phone for help or talk to somebody who might be able to fix the problem. Even though prayer is our most valuable resource, it's one that we take the least advantage of and the least understood. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that our God is wanting to protect us, and we need to watch with expectancy for His deliverance. What might look like a delay to us is just God's perfect timing. Now, in his message called Don't Just Stand There, Pray About It, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
These are dangerous days, and here's the tragedy. Children today, young people today, teenagers, they need to hear God like never before, but they can't hear Him. They haven't been taught. They haven't been trained how to hear God. You know why? Listen, they're never told to sit alone and sit quiet and be still. Just wait. Can you imagine taking a young person today and say, just sit 30 minutes without any phone, any radio, iPod, MP3, nothing. They would think, you know what? They would just, why don't you just kill me then? They would think they're good. Why don't you just, you can't do this. I'm going to sue you. And then the earphones, you know, the earphones in the head. I think they are now physically attached. The skin has grown over the wires. How can they hear God? They need God more than ever. Our young people need God more than ever, and they don't know how to hear Him. And they think silence is a sin. God wants to speak. Three things I want to give you. It's very simple, but it's the way it is. What does God's voice sound like? I'm glad you asked. That's a great question to ask. What does God's voice sound like? Are you ready for this? His voice will be unusually familiar to you when He speaks to you. So what does that mean? He will sound like you when He speaks. And you will say, that's not an answer. That's a cheap Christian answer. Just wait, I'm not done. He will sound like you in your head, the tone of your voice. He will sound like you because you're the only one you'll listen to. But here's the cool part. When He says in your voice what He is saying, you will know it because you have never said such a thing like that in your mind, nor has it ever uttered out of your mouth such a thing. And you will know. What was that? That was awesome. That was pretty profound, heavy. Wow. God speaks to us like that. Unless, look, there are, I guess you could hear God audibly. I've never heard God audibly. I never heard, Jack, this is the Lord, turn left. I mean, I've never heard that. Maybe you have. I have not heard that, but that's awesome. But I've never heard that. I just know in my head, I will hear something and it's not me. And that's cool because you know what? You can go do that thing or say that thing or stand on that thing with total confidence. It's amazing. The Bible says, listen, very quickly, 1 Kings 19, verses 11 to 13, it says Elijah went out. Listen, this is like us. It's awesome. Elijah went out and stood on the mountain before the Lord. Doesn't that sound awesome? You're saying, I want that to happen to me. I want that to happen. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. And you're going, yeah, baby, now we're talking. That's how I want God to talk to me. Keep reading. But the Lord was not in the wind. Isn't that great? And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came, listen to this. A still small voice spoke. And so it was when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that? Because don't you expect God to break open the mountain when he speaks and then speak like, Jack, thou my servant, what hast thou done? I shall call thee to the ends of the earth, my son. He doesn't do that. All this stuff and look at that and this and the other, and then a still, small voice, and it says, what are you doing? Isn't that just like God? He speaks to us so we can understand him. It's so natural, supernatural, natural. And then also this, how will we know if it's him speaking? Frankly, it's profoundly simple. John 14, 25, these things Jesus said, I've spoken unto you while yet being present, but the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring, listen, bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have spoken unto you. Answer, read your Bible and then listen to God speak. More Bible, you'll recognize his voice more. Not so much Bible, you're going to be a little bit confused. Don't read the Bible hardly at all, then you're going to be a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways, and you won't know which way's up or down, and it'll be a mess. Too many people live like that. You don't have to. And then what will be the proof? What will be the proof that it was God speaking? Isaiah 55, 11. So shall my word go forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. I love that. God says, listen, when I send out an email, I get an answer back. And he says, it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in that thing which I have sent it. What God has said, his answer from the Bible, it will come to pass, and you can watch it happen. God's amazing. Secondly, your God is waiting to protect you, so watch for his deliverance. Jesus said in verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. The word speedily today, we would use this collection of three words, in short order. You've ever heard that? Take care of that? Okay, I'll take care of it in short order. Going to be done now. Quickest thing possible. God is saying, I'll tell you what, I will avenge them in short order. That word is, I'm going to come to their defense. I'm going to answer them. And I'm going to do it very quickly. Now, we need to be very careful because as Christians, if we think God's not answering us, then we need to open up our eyes to reevaluate the situation because he has answered. In Matthew 6, 8, Jesus says, your Father knows these things that you have need of before you ask. You see how he wants us to come boldly and pray? You know, you and I live in a very limited plane because we want to see stuff. We live in a three-dimensional world. At least now our science, our technology is getting closer. It's not there, but our technology in the world is getting closer to biblical truth. It's starting to flirt around with fourth-dimensional and other-dimensional concepts. Immanuel Velikovsky, I don't endorse everything the guy wrote. He's dead and gone now. Scientist. Immanuel Velikovsky wrote a book, Worlds in Collision. Immanuel Velikovsky said he's not a believer. He said, listen, it is theoretically possible that if we just alter molecular structure ever so slightly, we could have a train going through the living room of your house at the same time, and neither one would be aware of each other's existence. Science knows that. Well, you and I know that as Christians. The Bible says that when the word of God goes out, as it is right now, and you've come together in an assembly to worship God, the Bible says angels peer, P-E-E-R, peer into the things that are being said and done in the service. Isn't that awesome? They lean into, learn and to listen from us, little dirt balls, pieces of dirt from Earth. Amazing. A world in collision, as it were. God is listening. And he says, I'm going to answer you quickly. A couple of weeks ago, I think I shared this with you, but it bears repeating. A couple of weeks ago, Lisa and I and our family went to go see the Rose Parade floats. Do you remember I told you about that? And how they're all parked there. They're just very beautiful, amazing. I thought it was going to be kind of corny. It turned out to be pretty awesome stuff. And but you think about that parade, and you know, on the day of the parade, when the parade begins, it depends on where you're at on the route, on Colorado Boulevard, where you're at determines what time of the day you see the float. Are you with me? If McDonald's is the first float and it goes down the street, the people at the start of the parade, they see the McDonald's float and it goes by and now it's past, and now they're looking at the Alaska float. And it's going by and you're watching all these things and you've watched 10 of them go by. Those floats that went by, you're done with those floats, aren't you? But if you and I are down there in Colorado Boulevard, right there at Cheesecake Factory, right there on the corner, and we're waiting for the parade to come by, we're still waiting. We're still waiting for what to come? The McDonald's float to come. But there's people at the same parade I'm at. They've already seen the McDonald's float. They're tired of that when they're looking to other ones. But I'm still waiting for the float to arrive. And then when it arrives, it goes down. And now what they've seen, I've seen. But the people at the other end, they've not yet seen it. Are you with me? God gets in a helicopter, so to speak, goes up over Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena and looks down from the McDonald's float to the Ding Dong float at the back and sees all the floats at one time, at one instant. That's God. Sees it all. And so you and I will say, oh my goodness, look at the McDonald's float. Isn't that, I don't know why I'm saying McDonald's. Look at the In-N-Out Burger float or the look at the Wahoo fish taco float. Look at the fish taco float. Looks like a gigantic fish in a taco. Look at it. And you're calling your friends and they're down the road. Are you with me? And they're going, I don't see it. Well, guess what? It's coming. Just because they can't see it doesn't mean it's not coming. And when you and I pray, just because you can't see it, don't think it's not coming. God is above it all. And he knows just the right moment to deliver just the right answer. The challenge for us is, will we receive it?
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Real practical way of looking at that is 1 Samuel 17:37. You know the story. David's a young guy, and he went to go see how his brothers are doing at war. By the way, not much has changed. David was going to go see how the Israelis were doing against the Philistines that were headquartered in Gaza. Sound familiar? And they had a big guy with them, uncircumcised guy, big, gnarly dude. They found literal archaeological discoveries of bedpost and armor, their beds. The beds of these guys were 14 feet long. And their armor, the breastplate, you can put two men inside one breastplate, and they found spears. I'm not talking one spear. You can go to Israel and look at this junk, this stuff. They have spears, 135-pound spears. How do you throw a 135-pound spear? Easy if you're 9 feet, 6 inches tall. And David, Goliath's standing there drooling. He's gnarly. He's an unshaved guy. He's snot running down his nose. He's got boogers on his face. Got a little falafel hanging here, shawarma on the other side. Hummus all over his face for camouflage reasons. And he says, oh, you know what? Your God's a joke. And David said, hey, who's going to take care of this guy? This is ridiculous. And Israel's all like, shh, don't upset him. Don't say anything, because if we just be nice to him, maybe our enemy will just think nice of us and go away and won't terrorize us anymore. And David says, no, that's it. Give me something. I'm going after this guy. And little David goes out there and says, hey, you know what? And he actually walks in a prayer, which is how you and I had to walk today. Listen, David said, moreover, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion when I was a little kid, you know, taking care of sheep, and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And we all love the story. But I'm wondering what we would have done if we were there. I want to believe, I know it's not true, but I want to believe that if there was no David, there would have been a Jack. Israel, fear not. Saul, sit down. Jack is back. And I would have gone out there and probably ran right over to the mountains of Elah and headed to the airport and got out of there. David walked in prayer. As a church, we're supposed to walk in that prayer and that hope of God answering. Revelation 3:10 says, because you have kept my command to persevere, God is saying, listen, Christian, don't quit. Don't stop going to church, fellowship with other believers. Keep praying. Don't give up. I also will deliver you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the entire world to test all those who dwell on the earth. That is a verse that promises God will remove you via the rapture if we live at that time, out of here before the tribulation period. Proof text positive. But are you looking for it? And then finally, we end with this. Your God is wanting to protect you, so place your faith in him alone. Jesus said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, I love that. Jesus said, I'm coming back. I didn't say it. He said it. That's the cool part. It's so great being a Christian. People get all upset. Oh man, you guys believe Jesus is coming back, you weirdos. Yeah, go ahead. Call me a weirdo. And you can call me a weirdo after I'm gone too. But Jesus said, he's coming back. If you want to call him a weirdo, call him a weirdo, but I wouldn't do that. He's coming back. And he said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Will anybody be believing? Now this ends in a very fascinating way. We all look at verse 1 again. Go ahead, look down. Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Skip ahead to the second half of verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Do you see the connection? Without prayer, your faith is going to fold. Without faith, your prayer is going to fold. You and I do not need great faith. You and I do not need to pray long. We just need to be people who pray and have him as our object of faith. That's what makes us successful in the spirit life. It's not my great faith. It's that I have faith in the great one. It's a big difference. So listen, we need to place our faith in him alone. And so Jesus is warning that when he returns, will anybody be believing? All of us have friends who have given up and turned in their faith. Have you not seen people, especially at trying times like this, give up on God? Did you know God's not panicking over this? It's very sad for us. But did you know if somebody knocks on your door today and says, listen, I give up on Christianity, I'm leaving. It's been really tough, lost my job or this or that, and I don't like the way things are going, I quit. You know what? Pray for them, weep for them. But you know what? The Bible said these days were coming. Listen, I just pray as I was on my knees before this service started, that every one of you who are his sheep, see, I don't have to worry about that either. All of you who are truly his would continue and abide and stay strong and persevere in these days. In a church this size, there's going to be people who are going to say, it's all a joke. I understand that. I weep for you. But listen, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And what? They follow me. So these days are difficult. I understand that. They're going to get harder. I mean, I know the news isn't going to tell you this. It's going to get worse. You guys, all the mathematical models, forget what commentators are saying. Just look at the mathematical models. It's going to get worse. You guys, this is not our home. Remember a couple years ago, I was encouraging you to get signed up in a home fellowship group just for times like these. I've been telling you, don't stop coming together as the assembly together. You say, I don't need to go to church to be saved. Of course you don't. That's not why I'm inviting you to come. Or if you're visiting from a church, make sure you get back to that church and get into that church. Because listen, we're going to need each other. These are tough days, but here's the cool thing. The Lord is always listening and waiting. He wants to answer us. And so I'll leave you with this. God is so good, this should build our faith to prompt us to prayer. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4 that these days that we're living in, there would come perilous times, okay? They're starting to happen. And what we can do today is say, Lord, I'm gonna go to you in prayer. I'm gonna seek your face. I wanna know, Lord, you more and more. So I'm gonna ask you to close your Bibles. I'm gonna ask you to bow your heads. I'm gonna ask no one to move around. I know this is the moment to dash for the car, but we've disabled all your cars. Please, please listen, because maybe today, you're here today, and you have known all about religion all your life. Well, congratulations, but that's not what we're talking about today. You have heard the name of Jesus all your life, but I ask you today, which one have you been hearing about? You may even claim to know God at some point in time, but I'm going to ask you right now, does he know you? This same Bible that writes this incredible encouragement for us to pray and that he's waiting to hear from us is the same Bible that also says that for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that is at the cross, that if you would believe in him, you would not perish in hell, but that you would have everlasting life. It's free because it cost him everything. Have you today decided, I'm going to depart from religion and embrace a relationship with Christ? That's what I'm inviting you to do. At this moment, I'm only a verbal middleman. I'm not asking you to join this church. It wouldn't matter if you did. I'm asking you to meet the Lord. And will you pray today this prayer by saying, I am coming to you, God. I want what I've heard today to be true in my life. I want this assurance. I want this hope. I can't do this, and I need you. I don't want religion, but I want you. I want to know you, and I want to know what it's like to have my guilt removed, my sins forgiven, and my history publicly or secretly erased. I want to be a Christian today. If anyone's sitting here right now thinking they should make this decision, that means make the decision. That's the Lord talking to you. Kind of quiet, huh? It's kind of quiet. He's talking inside. But you feel him? Can you feel the pressure? It's like a finger from nowhere kind of squishing you right now saying, you got to do this. Isn't that amazing? Anybody? God bless you. Isn't that amazing? Anybody else? Yeah. Beautiful. Father, I thank you for these who are hearing your voice ever so soft, but yet so firm. It can rip rocks open, but not necessary when you rend a heart. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless our brothers and sisters right now that are being added to the family of God. We pray, Lord, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit and cause them right now to experience, Lord, as they go so normal. They leave today as they come in, seemingly, but a revolution has begun on the inside of them. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would overwhelm them with who and what you are. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called, Don't Just Stand There, Pray About It, Part 2. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs here, and I am personally inviting you to come and join us for Just Church. September 8th, we are going to host Just Church at the Honda Center. We're going to have just worship, just the Bible, everybody, just us getting together. That's why we're calling it Just Church. You don't have to pay for anything. You just come. To learn more, go to justchurchsocal.com, and I'll see you at Just Church.
For more info, go to justchurchsocal.com. That's justchurchsocal.com.
Hey, you guys, Pastor Jack here, and I want to encourage you because I know I'm like you. You're like me. Are you weary? Do you get wearied? Do you get tired? Does it feel at times that the wind has been knocked out of you? I think if we're all honest, we can admit that, man, yeah, being a Christian is not easy in this world. But I want to give you some encouragement by virtue of the fact that Dr. Warren Wiersbe, a great author, a great pastor who's now in heaven, wrote a book called In Praise of Plodders. In Praise of Plodders. A plodder is somebody who just keeps going. If you feel so worn down, maybe even apathetic, then you need this book. He will walk you through those seasons. Things just don't seem to be coming together. In Praise of Plodders, this current featured book, please get a copy of it today.
That's In Praise of Plodders by Warren Wiersbe. You can pick it up for a gift to this ministry of any amount. Go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.